Sabres Live is presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Yali comes out of it there and banks it off the glass all the way to center. And back again by Duchesne, knocked down by Plant. Plant slides in over the line. Plant took his shot.
Of defeat, Derek Plant, his second of the night, and all series we have talked about the neutral zone. Ottawa turned the puck over in the neutral zone, and Buffalo scores yet another goal on the rush to win the seventh game here in Buffalo, and what a way to break in the Marine Midland Arena.
Seeking their second ever Game 7 win in the first ever Game 7 matchup between Buffalo and Montreal, it is a day and night to remember. Welcome in for Sabres Live. It couldn't be much better from the feel, the literal feel outside today, coming inside the arena. How are you feeling?
I'm feeling so anxious, so excited. I mean, I'm listening to this, and Jim Lawrence is talking. We've talked about the neutral zone all series long, and I'm like, what? This is what it's going to be about tonight. Look at Game 6. It was all about the neutral zone. Now the Sabres were so good in the neutral zone. About, like, you know, Lindy Ruff today talking to the media saying, if we were in the first day of training camp, and we were talking about a game in the middle of May, 80 degrees weather, Game 7, we would have signed up for it any time. Now I'm watching this from 97 in overtime, and I'm like, would we take overtime tonight? Like, if we could say, let's go straight to overtime, let's go win.
I'd rather not go there.
I'm just saying, my heart will, like, pump right out of my chest, right? Yeah. So there's so much excitement for me looking ahead to this Game 7 that it's going to be hard to keep me in one place for the rest of the day.
Well, the one thing, as we just witnessed on Saturday, you can never accurately predict what will unfold in a sporting event. Mm-hmm. It got lopsided based on how dominant the Sabres were, but you think back to the Game 7 win in 1997 and how tight the series was, and we teased you on Saturday with how it got to a Game 7, yes. And that was their Game 6 win on the road. Well, when they got back home, it was nervous. I mean, I'd love to know, you know, how many of our audience were in attendance that night. I would assume a large portion.
You were.
Based on the fact that we have had, you know, generations of season ticket holders, many would have been there, and it was so nerve-wracking. It was the game was clearly different at that point in time in the 90s, and the Sabres were down in this game, and they got a really fortunate break in the third period when a Yashin faceoff went in the net.
Straight in the net.
You know, and Derek Plank gets credit for the goal. They had fallen behind in the game early on a McEachran power play goal. Odette scored in the second period to tie it. The Sabres fell behind early in the third. And again, it was such a unique time, as you heard Jim say. Like, it's the first year for this arena. It was Teddy Nolan behind the bench, Hasek not in the series after Game 3.
First year in the black and gold, in the black and red, because it was the arena. So the first year with these logos, which they ended up having some success, obviously winning that round 97, conference final 98, Stanley Cup finals in 99. Like, there was a lot of going on, and this is the face-off, Yashin Plant, like, going straight to the net, and at full run Tugnut. And that was the way you get it to OT. Like, that's what is so crazy, to think that in a Game 7 like tonight, a weird bounce, a stupid play, like we saw Tage Thompson's goal in Montreal off the stanchion and in that got him back into the game, that Game 4. There's a lot that can happen that you cannot control in a Game 7. And that Derek Plant tying goal in the third period was exactly that, a weird bounce that ended up in the back of the net.
That would fall under the face-offs only matter when they matter category, and then the neutral zone.
That was a
zone.
Face-off loss.
I know. Turnover, of course. Yeah, I'd love to see which way they actually scored it on the sheet. But
yeah.
The planned OT winner at 524, and it stands to this day as Buffalo's only Game 7 win. So quickly on Game 6 and how we got here, based on your account of the proceedings since you were there in the booth on Saturday in the 8-3 win, the most goals Buffalo has ever scored in a road playoff game.
So for me, even when it was 3-1, I was like, there's plenty of time. There's plenty of time. You've seen Montreal do it just the game before where you were up 3-2. And you just need to get closer. And that 3-2 goal, obviously, the Zucker goal on the power play, that pass by Norris, that play, the play by Norris off the wall and everything. I mean, that was so important. So to me, that goal by Zucker was huge. And then I felt like this was going to be the Sabres game after that. And it was. And the neutral zone. I talked about the neutral zone. In Game 5, Montreal, all they did is they had the high flip through the neutral zone and were winning puck races. In Game 6, Buffalo, their forecheck was really good. Montreal couldn't really flip the puck. And then maybe because they were down 3-1 in the first period, the defense was so aggressive. Aggressive up on the play. Like the pinch on the wall, and that turned the game. So I felt like, if you look at what can you bottle from Game 6 that you can take to Game 7, the way you played in the neutral zone was huge. Even in the hits that you gave up in the neutral zone, the physicality, that's exactly where the game was won for me, for the Buffalo Sabres.
Was there an obvious player of the game? Because I think when you have Darlene with 5 points, and not to take away anything from that being a record-setting performance by an NHL defenseman in an elimination game, and it tied a team record, some of those were secondary assists late in the game, so yeah. It maybe didn't seem, oh my God, they needed that play. They needed that play. They needed that play. So was there actually one player, or is it impossible to pick one based on how dominant the team was?
Thank you for giving me an out here, because I was about to pick a player, but you said, was it impossible? And I'm like, yeah, maybe it's impossible to pick one. I'll tell you this. What I loved about Game 6 is the swagger and the confidence that some of the secondary players played with. And mm-hmm. We've seen Consta Hellenius play with swagger and confidence, and he was really, really good in that game. Jack Quinn, mm-hmm. like the one-timer shot he scored on, the second goal,
yep.
that is not a shot that a guy that's not confident would usually take, right? I think scoring that goal early in the game on the power play, he wanted that puck on the first power play. He was looking for Darlene to give it to him. He gets that one. But then when Tage Thompson gives him that puck down low and he takes that shot, all I was looking on that power play is they had Benson on the back post on one side. They had Doan on the back post on the other side. They or Norris, one of the two were there. But I'm like, they're looking to go around Dobesh. And then you've got Benson on the back post when Quinn is going to shoot that puck. And I'm thinking, wow, that's a confident shot. That's not a shot you take from that spot often. It was 5-3. Maybe it's easier to be confident. And that made it 6-3. That was the night for Dobesh. But I love the confidence that Jack Quinn displayed in Game 6. Despite having never scored a playoff goal in his professional career, mm-hmm. he was playing with confidence, and that was huge.
Indeed. And Ray Ferraro from ESPN will join us a little later on here on Sabres Live as we get set for Game 7 tonight. We have a this or that that was that was
submitted.
Pushed, submitted, yes.
Yes, submission. We take submissions
okay.
on the show.
So Greg submits it, and you get the first crack at answering it. What was Lindy's smarter move? And it had to do with heading into Game 6 and whether it was no ice time after the performance in Game 5, like just staying away from the rink, or the line changes, which we had kind of been asking for, right?
Yes. We had been talking about line changes for a while now and how to get Tage Thompson going. Well, you got him going with obviously the 4 points. And look, is there another notch for Tage Thompson to go? Yes. But you're looking at his stats right now, and you're like, I'd take that over 82 games.
Correct.
That would be 100 points mm-hmm. season, right? That's crazy. But there's another step. I think that the line changes were the number one thing. Staying off the ice, look, at this time of year, do you need to practice all the time? Do you have sometimes to get on the ice just to get a feel for it? Absolutely. The Sabres didn't skate today. They did have all three goalies going on the ice, and Luukkonen was the first one off the ice. So everybody's obviously speculating, like, you know what, we're going to see Luukkonen. But the main guys did not skate yesterday. They're not skating today. You know, this is just sticking with the routine. But what really affected the start of the game, that first shift by the Thompson on the right with Norris and Benson line, like, that set the tone. And I get you scored first and then you were down 3-1.
Yeah.
But that first shift exactly was telling me what I needed to see from Tage Thompson and what that was going to be like.
Well, let me ask you something else and the audience, which we do every day just about here on Sabres Live. It's our Twitter poll, at Sabres Live. Who has been the Sabres MVP of this series so far? Benson, Dahlin, Doan, or other? And we obviously have write-in votes. We have one for Lindy. Is that what I just heard?
Yes.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah, I mean, Lindy does have a part in playing this. I still am going to go with the rest of the people, the public. I'm going with Zach Benson. I mean, the power play went 4-for-6 in game 6, and it's a lot of it is because they made some changes, and Benson to the front of the net and to the back door and to occupying that space was huge. The Sabres power play started to get going when they made that change. Remember the Dahlin goal with Benson in front of the net? That was in the losing cause, but still, that change. Benson still ends up with a goal, a huge goal, making it 3-3. The way he spun and turned and twisted like a slinky and got the backhand. Not a lot of angle there. It's a big goal. I'm going Zach Benson as the MVP for this round, but there's still another chapter to be written tonight, and I want Benson to be even more of a factor in this game.
Yeah, I'll go with Benson as well, and the Sabres right now are leading the Stanley Cup playoffs in most players with a power play goal. They have 8 who have scored a power play goal. This is absolutely impossible to believe after the April that they had, and they are by far and away leading the NHL in diversity in power play goal scoring. So we'll see how that continues tonight. But as far as what else did I want to get in here? Well, quickly on.
Do we want to do goaltending, or we'll leave that for Ray, because Ray knows how goaltending usually works.
He does?
Yeah. Well, he scored about 90 goals in juniors in the 1 year. Like, we joke with Ray Ferraro all the time, like, because he used to bring up the stats from when he was juniors. But he was a good player. He's a good scorer.
Great goal scorer. Yeah, real quick on just the road approach to this home game tonight. Buffalo is all-time 75-58 at home in the playoffs.
So this season in the Eastern Conference, it has been about as crazy when you look at the road versus the home record. 21-12 have been the road teams. The Sabres are 2-4, having played 6 games at home. The Montreal Canadiens have had success on the road. It seems like teams feel very comfortable on the road. Now, Tampa Bay tried to do that in Game 7 where they said, we're going to, you know, stay in a hotel, have a bit of a road mentality to our game. And really, they were the better team in Game 7. Montreal had 9 shots. So I'm saying this will feel like a road atmosphere in the way that you prepare for the game. But the fan base and the support and everything, having that being the home maybe extra. So, yeah, I think the Sabres will feel comfortable at home tonight.
Pre-game show tonight at 7 o'clock right here on MSG and the Sabres app and all our social channels for the Buffalo Sabres. And, of course, we'll have post-game coverage as soon as Game 7 is done. Can't wait for that. Can't wait for Ray Ferraro to join us next right here on Sabres Live.
We're back with more of Sabres Live. Presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
The famed Beer Saber is back for Game 7 tonight. It's presented by Labatt. You can purchase yours, a 16-ounce beer, and the Beer Saber during pregame only. You got to visit sabres.com/food for the locations here inside the arena. We are gearing up tonight. Pregame sales start at 5:30 for that. Ray Ferraro was anticipating he would be back in Buffalo here for Game 7, so he's joined us right now on Sabres Live. Hi, Ray.
How are you doing? When it was going up to Game 6 in Montreal, right? We had just found out we were our group is going to do the Western Conference final. So I'm booking a flight to Buffalo just in case there's a game seven. I've got a flight booked to Vancouver because I could go home for a couple of days, and then a flight to Denver. And all of it got thrown in the trash, and we're back in Denver. And I did, as I was, you were showing about the beer saber. So if Buffalo gets through tonight, you got the beer skate in Carolina, which sold out like immediately. And the beer saber, same thing. And you're like, they said in Carolina, the last time they tried it, they didn't figure out that you couldn't put it down. Like it wasn't flat. And so they had to remake it. And they're like, oh, yeah, this thing sits there now. So
it certainly doesn't fit in a cup holder. Holy cow.
No, it's not. But too great, man. But just think, those things, both places sold out immediately. That's
the beer saber doesn't stand, but you don't have to put it down. It's in your hand the whole time, and let's go.
Yes.
Yeah. That's the way it goes. But
you know what? We're talking about marketing, and you know the marketing machine is alive and well across the league with products like this, for sure. Mm-hmm. But the game itself is the ultimate marketer, right? Like, what a series so far heading into Game 7 tonight.
I find it really a bit of a strange series, right? That, you know, if you look at the three Buffalo wins, they've scored 15 goals and given up 7. And in their losses, they've given up 17 goals. And so, like, there hasn't been, like, I think tonight, maybe the exclamation point on the series is this, I hope, is a great game. Like, I hope it's tight. I hope there's tension. The last couple of games have just kind of got away from themselves, and I found it to be a strange series in that way that no team has been able to establish their game for like long, long stretches of the series.
Yeah.
And maybe that's the mark of two teams that finished a couple of points apart in 82 games, right? Like they're at this point, is one team really better than the other? This is why I played three game sevens. I'm not sure about you, Marty, but it doesn't matter what happened in the season. Doesn't matter what happened in the first six games. It's the moment now, and somebody will come up big and somebody won't. Or somebody that you never think about might score the biggest goal of their life. And that's what's the beauty of game seven.
I played one game seven as a starter, multiple as a backup, and I'll tell you this, we actually played on back-to-back with the Flyers against Washington. Oh. Game six in Philly, and then game seven the next night, took the train after the game. I remember being in the train, like it felt like a sad movie where I could hear sad music around me. It's like, come on, shake it up, right? We have game seven tomorrow. But I shortchanged you, Ray, before the break when I said you scored over 90 goals in juniors, which is true. But it was 109, right? Your last year in juniors?
108.
Okay. Yeah. So I will ask you this. If you were a player in this game, which side as shooters would have the advantage? The side that's going against Dobesh, who gave up 6 goals in game 6, or the side that's going against Luukkonen, Lyon, who knows, right? Goalie rotation and carousel that's happened. So you give like Tage Thompson and the Sabres the advantage, or Montreal like Caulfield and those guys?
No, I think Buffalo has more what I call one-shot scorers, guys that just need one chance. They don't need multiple chances to score. And yeah, I know that maybe a not as talented scorer can get one chance and make a great shot. The guys, generally speaking, shoot the puck better across the league than when we play. But I think Buffalo has more shooters than even if you go back to their defense. You know, the Columbus was the only team that scored more goals than Buffalo from the blue line this year, as you guys know. Well, they've got 11 goals from the point. From their blue line. I guess they're not from the point. Yeah. But Dahlin can shoot it. Samuelson can shoot it. Like, these are guys that have big shots. Byram can score. Mm-hmm. Montreal doesn't have the same. I view them as different teams, even though they're very similar. If you look at the Canadiens, like, Caulfield can, you know, he can score. Yeah. He can really shoot the puck. Demidov is a shooter. I mean, that kid, to me, I don't know what you think, Marty, he looks a lot like Alex Kovalev to me. And I'm like, I think that guy can really score. But you go down the middle of their lineup, and Suzuki's more of, I would consider, a dual threat than a shooter. But I don't view the middle of their lineup as dangerous. And, you know, even even Buffalo making the change to put Helenius in game three. Like, that kid's clearly, you can see, that kid's a scorer.
Yeah.
What's crazy is if Oslund was healthy, maybe you wouldn't even have Helenius in the lineup.
Yeah.
And so now here's his chance. He's a guy, I would say, because he doesn't look scared of anything. I watch him. I've watched him really closely for these games. I love his demeanor. Like, there's something about that kid that's a little different than other young players. He's, in my mind, is the type of guy that will have the chance to step in a game seven. Like, he's a guy that might be really noticeable.
Ray, you'll think that's funny. As a former goalie, I'm terrible at righty-lefty. I once thought Peter Forsberg was a righty, and he's actually a lefty.
How did you play in the league?
Exactly, right? But I remember that Kovalchuk was a righty because he scored so many darn goals on me.
Oh, no, no, okay. So, no, yes. I say Kovalev.
Oh, Kovalev. I thought you said Kovalchuk. Okay, Kovalev. No. Oh, Kovalev, I know he's a lefty because he scored so many darn goals on me as well.
So you got two of them. You got two guys right in a row.
Yes. So no, I feel like I won.
Kovalchuk was a shooter.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you know, Kovalev would just, the way that Demidov skates and the way that his legs are wide and he's got that same handy motion. They're both left-handed. Maybe that's it. But that's the guy I think of. Kovy, I will tell you a quick story. We had a 2-on-1. He looked at me the whole way down the ice and shot it. And I said to him after, I go, hey, Kovy, you know, I was open over there. He goes, yeah, I see you there. Like, he wasn't passing to me. He was shooting it the whole way down.
Yes.
Wow. I'm assuming Benson is more up your alley.
Oh, love that kid.
Oh yeah.
Love that kid. What a pain in the ass. And
yeah.
But the thing is, like, you can be that, but if you're not talented enough to make it out of that mess that you've just made, it doesn't matter. I really think there is so many similarities between him and Marchand. And it's not that they're small and that they create a lot of crap. It's that they can play. Benson's an excellent passer. And even early in the series, I thought, I know they had the good start, the good first series, Krebs and Tuck alongside of Thompson. But when Thompson went quiet, I thought he needs a little help. Mm-hmm. He needs someone to find him the puck, to get him the puck a little more. And I think Benson's not a third line player. He's better than that. Mm-hmm. And for people around the league that didn't know anything about him, they're learning. Now, you guys know my brother-in-law used to coach here.
Yeah.
He loves Zach Benson. He was showing me video a couple of years ago of just these little plays he was making in the game. He's like, this kid thinks the game like most players don't. And I think he's a really, really good player. He would be another guy, I would say, that might, well, I don't know why he wouldn't. He'll love this. He will love game seven. And I think on Montreal's side, to balance it out a bit, I think Newhook is one of those players. Mm-hmm. I think he will be a factor tonight. There's just something about his game. And I'm like, but Benson and Doan to me have been just remarmably good players in this series.
Do you see Benson's upside not unlike, you know, where Marchand was at for most, and still is, quite frankly? Do you think Benson gets there eventually?
I think Benson's a 25-70 guy, like 25 goals, 70 points.
Yep.
And
pretty good.
Are you kidding me? And his energy and his, so I have this theory, you know, maybe I'm a little partial to these guys because, you know, they're my size and roughly, but Benson is not small. It bugs me when players talk or when media or whatever talk about a player like Benson and they say he's small. He's not. He's short. And there's a difference. Small players get pushed out of the game. They get pushed out of traffic. They get pushed away from the net. Mm-hmm. Benson is not small. He's short. Caulfield is not small. He's short. Like, there is a difference. And Helenius is the same thing. He's not small. He's just short. And there's lots of guys that are taller than those examples I just gave that I would consider small. They just get pushed out of the middle of the game, and pretty soon they look great, but they're skating down the boards and the net's still 50 feet away.
Now, Ray, we don't expect any changes for Buffalo in Game 7. I mean, their roster, their lines, their group of defense, even Metsä coming in, played an impact. He's been fantastic. I think the Sabres are 35-4 when Metsä's in the lineup this year.
It's a little exaggeration, but it's, I think, 34-12.
34-12, okay. Yeah. So there
but with
you
like five overtime losses in there. So.
Yeah, for, do you always have to create correct math with this guy? Like, is it yes?
I take it from him
first. I feel like
first,
sometimes so. I make it up now just to make myself feel good, but
but okay, so Buffalo is not going to change anything.
No,
but do you anticipate that Montreal could? And you mentioned a short player that can bring energy is Brendan Gallagher in the Game 7. Like, he came into the Tampa series, his first game was Game 5. It was 2-2 in the series. He scored a goal right at the start of the game. So do you anticipate that Marty St. Louis is going to maybe tweak something in his lineup going into Game 7?
They have not played their fourth line very much. Yeah. And so the guy that came out for Gallagher, when Gallagher came out, Joe Valeno went in. Mm-hmm. And Joe's had one assist and just been okay. I've got that kind of, I had that same gut, Marty, about that I think this is a moment for Gallagher. Mm-hmm. And I'm not thinking that he's going to play 14 minutes. He might play 7 minutes. But if it's 7 minutes, it's going to be in front of the goal. It's going to be... There's an energy that he would bring. I will say I'm 60-40 on this. I think 60% he's in tonight. And I think that would be the only change. I do think there's no question it has to be Luukkonen in goal. Dobish is going back in goal for Montreal. Yeah. And I think everything else is going to be the same.
32-12 for Metsä, according to Hockey Reference. I exaggerated just a little bit, but again, that's part of the shtick here that we have. We always try to.
Well, you were closer than him.
Yes, exactly.
I was 30-9. It was not bad.
You said 35.
I said 35.
You said 34.
So I was
three.
Like,
if anyone is following us right now, we've just thrown out 17 different numbers.
Yes. And guess what? When somebody sits down at the bar tonight, it won't even be close to what we talked about, and it'll still be a great story.
Yeah. Right? Yes, it will.
You know that they're 50-0 when Metz is in the lineup?
Unbelievable. Can't believe it.
Well, I would say this. Like, when you look at the way the game is today compared to, I don't know, let's say the 90s, like, you score first, it was almost automatic, right? Yeah. You could shut the game down. Do you throw most of those numbers away in games like this? Like, is there really any statistic to you that truly matters when it's Game 7 and we know anything can happen?
I don't look at any of it. I won't talk about anything historical tonight because I don't care. Because if Buffalo is 1-6 in Game 7s, who cares? Half of these guys weren't born.
Right.
The last time they played a Game 7. Like, who cares? It doesn't matter, because things can be sailing along. And Marty, you might remember this series, but Toronto and Ottawa were playing. It was a Game 7. Patrick Lalime was unbelievable in the series. And he gave up two of the ugliest goals in the first period.
Mm-hmm.
Series was over. It was done.
Joe Neuendijk.
But it didn't matter that he was great for 3 weeks. It mattered in that moment, the puck got through him, it's in the net, it's 2-0, it's over. And so I don't put anything to it. I really don't, because I don't think for most of these players it matters. The one thing that does matter, and I think it's maybe a small measure of an advantage for Montreal, is they just went through a seventh game in Tampa. It was a seventh game on the road. It was actually the exact thing. They could have wrapped up Game 6 at home against Tampa. They lost, and they went and won. The difference is, if they play that same Game 7, they're going to lose tonight.
Yeah.
Right? They had nine shots on goal.
Nine.
Yeah, you're not going to win with nine shots on goal tonight. And so it doesn't – I guess the one thing I would think of is the pressure more than ever sits in each crease. And one guy has played a Game 7, and one guy is not. And, you know, the last time Luukkonen started, it didn't go very well. Mm-hmm. And when he came in with no expectation, or, you know, he's sitting over on the other side there in Montreal with a ball hat on, and, Lindy had a, you know, I looked over at the bench when the third one went in. Lindy had a like a 4-second conversation with Seth Appert, and he just pointed to Luukkonen, and I think Luukkonen was probably in his head. I think you guys probably do this. Hey, Marty, you start to sense, oh, maybe they might make a change. Yeah. Like, he was up off that chair in a hurry, and, you know, but he was over there just watching the game, and now he's in it. And sometimes I guess that becomes easier for a goalie than he's got all day to think about it and, you know, and think about the start, think about the, you know, the way that they're going to pressure, where's the traffic going to come from, all these things that you might think about if you're the starter, where when you're the backup, you're just doing your work and you hope that the starter plays well.
All right. The previous six games have been pretty much, other than the 3-2 win by the Sabres, been pretty much like when you play street hockey, first team up to five. Do you feel like game seven will be first team to five? Or you mentioned having maybe a tighter game, but I mean, you would think that by now they would have figured out if they were going to play a tighter game. So is this first team to get to five?
I don't see any different. I really, like, why would it be different? Put it that way. Like, nobody is going to be able to check the other team into the ground and make this a game where the shots are 20-16 and it's 2-1. Like, how would that happen? I guess always it can, but I don't anticipate that at all. It's almost like if you look at it in reverse, Montreal played that first series against Tampa. By the second game, you pretty well could realize nobody was going to ever score five goals in a game.
Yeah.
Like that, the way those teams matched up and they played, it made it a low scoring series. This series, the teams are built in a way that there's going to be chances, that there's going to be opportunities to score. And I think here's a great example is, you know, in the first series, Buffalo's power play, well, really all of April, Buffalo's power play stunk. It was terrible. And then they get into game three and they make those changes on the power play. And since game three, they got seven power play goals. Mm-hmm. The matchup changes. I know from playing in a series, sometimes the matchup is just not a good one for you. Line after line, time after time, you go out and you're like, man, this line is good. And you don't get a break. It's the same line over and over. And sometimes you just get a good matchup. It's just the way it is. I think the matchup in this series is you need to score. You need to score to win. You got to get four for sure. It doesn't seem like it would be any other way.
Ray, love the insight and the passion as always. Thank you. Enjoy tonight in game seven.
I will have a great time and get your beer Sabres out. And, yes. And again, with Zach Metsa in, 84-6 with Zach Metsa in the lineup.
Thank you. I'm writing that down. He's Ray Perfect. Ferraro from ESPN. And we talk about the beer Sabre. Well, you know what else is available? And it's available right now. Scan the QR code on your screen if you're watching here on MSG or head to sabres.com/5050. It is the 50-50 raffle presented by Northtown Automotive. We have a guaranteed jackpot of $100,000. You don't have to be in the arena tonight. You can get the tickets now if you're based in New York State. We're back with Sabres Live after this.
We're back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Have we mentioned the Beer Sabre? The Beer Sabre is back tonight, and it's available for purchase pregame only in arena. It's Game 7 tonight, the Beer Sabre presented by Labatt. You can purchase your 16-ounce Beer Sabre during the pregame, and you can find out which locations, some of which you can see on our screen right now on MSG. But if you're not viewing right now, you can head to sabres.com/food for the locations. Martin.
Yes.
Do you have one? Do you need one?
I have one.
Okay.
But I've been asked by multiple people if I can maybe do them a favor.
Are you selling one?
And go get one. Yeah. And I said, listen, I'm going to be busy pregame, getting ready for this game seven.
We're on at 7.
We're on at 7 p.m. on MSG and on all of the Sabre socials, YouTube, X, Facebook. So you can get us in a lot of places. Obviously, when the Sabres hit the ice, when Montreal hit the ice for warm-up, we're going to get maybe an idea as to is there any changes. I want to see if there's changes for Montreal when it comes to their group. You know, even a Struble on the fence. And not that Jack Eye plays a lot, but, You know, is that the way the game is going? Where do you say game seven, we need more speed, we need more skateability. If we go to overtime, we need to be relying on using a lot more players because it could be a long night. I don't anticipate it, but you don't know. So we'll have all the updates for you guys during the pregame.
Because we saw four goaltenders last game.
Jeez, yes.
I will ask you, who's on a shorter leash tonight?
Well, I mean, I'm going to say with whatever the goalie for the Sabres is. Just because...
You don't think if Dobish let in two in the first couple of minutes that they wouldn't make a change? You know they love Fowler.
They love Fowler, but Fowler looked just... He hasn't played a lot. He played 10 minutes.
Yeah, it was garbage time.
It was garbage time. Marty Saint-Louis gave Dobish the patience that he needed in Game 5,
right,
and they came back. I think he would do that again.
Okay.
Where I think Lindy would be like, you know what? It's not about the goalies. Mm-hmm. It's about our team. And, you know, we'll use whoever we have available.
Yeah.
I joke with Lindy coming back from Montreal yesterday. I said, it's a good thing I wasn't your backup because usually by the 10-minute mark of the first period, I've already eaten four hot dogs. So,
well, who's to say Lukanen didn't?
Well, maybe that was the key.
Could have been fueling the passion.
Maybe that was the energy and the fuel that he needed by that point.
Well,
but he didn't have mustard or ketchup in his towel, which I always had by the time I had four hot dogs.
Okay, in honor of the occasion, and that is the greatest gift in sports, a game seven,
mm-hmm,
why don't we do a very special game seven, yeah, anytime goal scorer?
Oh, boy. I didn't know this was coming. Okay. Game seven, anytime goal scorer. I am going to go. You won the regular season, so you should have first dibs. I can't pick. I don't have the honor. I don't have the T-box.
Knowing how I operate.
Oh, you're going to go deep.
I'm not.
You're not.
There are
the
no
page.
Names on the screen, right, that would be my first choice. Even though they are obvious picks for everybody.
You know who is due for a goal.
You hold on to that thought. I know exactly who you're talking about. I will go with Konsta Helenius,
okay,
again for a third straight game.
That
he's
is a great pick.
He's plus 700.
Plus 700, that's a great pick. He is not small. He's just short, as Ray Ferraro talked about. And I am going to steal that because I love the distinct difference between small and short. And I think that I'm going to go with another short guy. I'm going to go with Zach Benson. I think Benson gets a goal in the Game 7. He is the type of players you want in Game 7.
I'm going to assume you were referencing Alex Tuch.
Nope.
No?
I was referencing Bo Byram.
Oh.
Because we talked about goals from the defense.
Yeah.
Bo Byram scored a ton against the Boston, mm-hmm, Bruins in the first round, but has been...
But it's defense. I mean, you know that's the nature of how it,
yeah,
goes.
Yeah, but it has been, you know, quiet a little bit, even in the scoring chances, mm-hmm, and in the shots.
Yeah.
He's not, obviously, that first power play stand all there long, but I think Bo Byram is due for a goal.
Right, but if you're out at Canal Side or in the Plaza tonight, the conversations are not... Gee, I really wish Byram would get off the schneid.
Yeah.
It's going to be...
I want Alex Tuch to score.
Can Alex Tuch break through? That's what is on the minds of so many people because you had an historic Game 6. 8 goals in a road game. This has never happened before. And the two things that happened within scoring 8 goals... Doan's point streak came to an end.
Yes.
And Alex Tuch still didn't get a point. These are almost impossibilities based on everything that we saw in Game 6. And the reason I say that, because Tuch had glorious chances, because the Lions 1-4 performed very well,
yeah,
for Buffalo. It's shocking to me that he didn't get a point in Game 6.
So our in-house Sabres Live scout, Mecca, he texted me when,
by the way, the Sabres Live chief scout, amateur scout, Daniel Armbruster, yeah, of Joywave, will be in attendance here,
okay,
tonight.
Okay, well, so that's good because Zach Benson was a player he talked about
him.
Like years
talked
ago. So I talked him up and it's been working. But, you know, during, you know, Game 6, you know, Mecca was telling me, like, I love putting Tuch and McLeod together. I think that could be some speed. And obviously with Doan, that could be a very, very good line. And you look at the depth of the Sabres, mm-hmm, trying to outplay the depth of Montreal. They have taken over now in the last few games where the Newhook and Doc and Texier and Bolduc and those guys scored early. Now Sabres have their depth working. You pick Hellenius for a anytime goal scorer. Mm-hmm. He has been a big part of that depth. But I would love to see that Don McLeod Tuck line to be able to get a goal. And I would love for that to be Alex Tuck as well. Just to say you have put your foot down and the chemistry is there. This is a line that has a ton of speed, physicality. I think they could be a bit of a decision
difference maker
mm-hmm. for this game tonight.
Well, to your point about Byram, as part of the defense corps that is now number one across the NHL in both goals from defense and points from defense in these Stanley Cup playoffs. Yeah. So there are things that we know about this team that have been critical to their success, and we've known it since early December, and that's a huge reason, and that's why it was almost perfect the way it unfolded on Saturday night, because Rasmus Dahlin had 5 points. He trails only Quinn Hughes now in playoff scoring mm-hmm. among defensemen, and they got everything they could have hoped for from the line changes up front. Who's your series MVP so far? That's our Twitter poll question today at Sabres Live, and early on it was a runaway for Zach Benson. It is still a runaway for Zach Benson.
Yeah, it's dropped off a little bit, and I think as we started talking
88%.
About 88%, it was 91-93% at the start of the show. I think as we start talking about Dahlin a little bit more and his impact in game 6 and you know the composure that he showed with the puck, but also we know this is a game 7 and there's a lot of emotions to it. I want to see the best version of Dahlin in game 7. He could, after tonight's game, the Sabres get a big win, he could become the MVP in the way that maybe he turns some undisciplined moment into disciplined moment, some lack of offense into offense, some lack of power play success into power play success. He could be there. Josh Doan is with me, like the Benson effect, like those two have had. Mm-hmm. And again, if McLeod and Tuck get going offensively, right, and it's because of Doan, he could be in that conversation. But obviously, I voted Benson, and I think the people, the public, really sees Benson as a big, big MVP factor so far against Montreal.
Well, as we talked about earlier with Ray Ferraro, as you know, the Sabres are 146-0 when Zach Mensah is in the lineup. incredible that the Sabres have played 12 games. How many different defense pairings happened for the Sabres in the playoffs so far?
Well, there's been the constant two. Oh, but you mean like even in game and how they've played it? Oh, I would think right now we're probably approaching 14 different
Natural
pairings.
Stat Trick says we've employed 28 different defense. Isn't that amazing? That is,
Dahlin and I has get played it, with everybody.
Some of them are accidental and carryovers at end of sequences. I get it. But that, to me, tells you everything that this coaching staff is doing to try to win games. That's what you have to do, and that's why the impact of the line changes and the insertion of Mensah mattered so much in game 6. Show me that you're willing to do anything and everything to give yourself the best chance
to Dahlin win. Has played with everybody. So Dahlin has had 8 different partners, because he had Samuelson, he's played with Byram, he's played with Power, he's played with Timmins, he's played with Mensah, he's played with Kesselring, he's played with Stanley. Yeah. So you're looking at, okay, so there's 8 right there, and Byram has done that too. So I get that. But again, this will be interesting tonight in this game. Coaching. How do you maybe cut your bench short? How do you use, like, the Sabres, that is now 2 games where they don't even practice. Mm-hmm. They have played a game 5, they didn't practice, played game 6, didn't practice, played game 7, trying to save the energy, really push. Well, how do you use that energy? Maybe you top load your top line and you say, we're going to use you a ton. Mm-hmm. Maybe early on you rotate in your fourth line mm-hmm. to say, we're going to have more energy later in the game. Like, that is going to be a big cat and mouse game between coaches and Lindelof having last change, controlling the matchup. I think that has to be important. I would put that line of Tuck, McLeod, and Doan against Suzuki as much as I could.
Do you have fresh material for our pregame when it begins at 7?
I'll try to look for some, but by this point, I know them. They know us.
Okay.
It's
Tell
all
you what,
there is.
I'll do the bulk of the heavy lifting. Just come ready with a Marty's Minute.
I'm going to put a tie on today. I'm putting a tie on.
Why?
Coletta had a tie on.
Coletta
I'm putting
a
tie on.
There'll be no ties tonight. It's game 7 after all. We'll see you at 7 for our pregame coverage. Can't wait.